right. I want to extend greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we continue here this morning. We all stand. Let's do it. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. Lord, thy will be done, and thy kingdom come. Lord, grant to us today, as we come before you looking for our daily bread, Father, help us find it, Lord, not in the earthly things, but in spiritual bread, Father. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, that thy will be done in our lives, Father. In individual lives and as a body. Thy kingdom come. Lord, help us manifest thy kingdom and be faithful to it. Be loyal servants, though you be away from us. Lord, we just pray, Father, for wisdom as we open your word. Lord, that you'd help reveal to us and help us see, Father, things that have become so confusing, Lord, in this world of deceit and darkness. So many false teachers on every hand, Father, give us wisdom as we open your word this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to let's turn to Ephesians, I think. We'll start there. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 and 12. Now let's just begin in 1. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I think we'll stop right there. I want to also turn to let's just look at this just for a moment. What I want to talk about this morning is gifts. Some people, whenever they ask us what we teach about the gifts, would almost come to the conclusion, according to them, that we don't believe in gifts. And what I want to do this morning is just teach that, yes, we do believe in gifts, but we do not accept them as they're commonly promoted and accepted today. We believe that the gifts of God are for this purpose that Paul explained here. It is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till all come in the unity of the faith. Up above this, it talked about there's one faith. Jude talks about the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. The purpose of the gifts of God are to bring us to that faith, to the one God, the one Lord, the Father of all, who is above all and through us all. If the gift that is being manifest doesn't bring about that fruit, it's not from God. I don't care how spiritual or how mystical or how powerful it is, how thrilling, how exciting, how many church people can come together, how many miracles are done, how many people are healed. How many miraculous things you can do. It's not what God intended for the gift. Maybe he did gift somebody with something, and instead of using it for the proper purpose, they begin using it for their own glorification and their own edification and for themselves. But it doesn't bring people to the one faith. and it doesn't build them and join them together into one body under the one Lord and one Father, one God of all things. It might unite people. People's idea of the scriptures. Well, they say, well, the Bible says they did it, so we're doing it. Whenever we look at the whole of the Bible, that's when we begin to understand who God is. The majority of the world, if you ask them, would teach the whole of the Bible is all about love. Well, they're wrong. That's not what is God's intention when you pick up the Bible. You don't see love on every page the way it's described in the world. What you see is a God in heaven that created a little creation called man. And that man has turned away from God and rebelled against Him and walked in his own path. And God has tried to call men to repentance from Genesis unto Revelation. God's message to man is not about how loving God is. God's message to man is to call man to return back to God. These gifts are given to men who have turned back to God and have been given the responsibility to call other men to God and to unify themselves while they're on this earth to be a part of the body of God. It's all about God. A few things I want to point out. I probably won't go down through every gift and explain every idea about it. But I want to try to build a foundation so that as we look at these things, we can explain them if needed. And we can also get a good understanding of the purpose. And when you get that purpose of what the gifts are for, about 99% of what goes on in the world just evaporates. And the confusion's gone of what it's all about. First of all, gifts are not commandments. They're not commandments. They're gifts. Whenever the Bible tells us to children, to obey your parents, that's a commandment. When the Bible tells us to have pure marriages, that's a commandment. Those are things we guard. When the Bible tells us to love our neighbor and turn the other cheek, those are commandments. Those all are part of the faith. A gift is something that would help us bring all those things together. Whenever the Bible talks about gifts, There's gifts that God gives every man. That desire to return to Him and repent. Christ was a gift. Those gifts are not commandments. The commandments are something that we do to prepare us that we can properly put those gifts into place. The Bible talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches very clearly in Matthew chapter 14, Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Let's just turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Again, 29, and Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them who obey him." John chapter 14. Verse 15. If you'll read this whole chapter and chapter 15 as well, you'll see this theme and this clear idea four times at least, and possibly a fifth. Verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Do we have any 5-year-olds in here? Who's five? Who's five? We don't have a 5-year-old boy. What does it mean? "If you love me, keep my commandments." Four-year-old. Six-year-old. We've only got 60 children here, and I can't believe we don't have... Okay, there's one. I don't know how old you are. "Keep, if you love me, keep my commandments." What's that mean? What's it mean? If you love me, keep my commandments. Children. One of the little ones. Just somebody say it. Say it. What's it mean? Caleb? If you love God, what are you going to do? Okay. Is that hard to understand? No. little harder to get them to talk, but it's not hard to understand. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 21, And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and will make our abode with him. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him. This is so principal to the kingdom of God, and it is so upside down in the kingdom of this world. John the Baptist came preaching and said, Prepare ye the way. Make the path straight. Tear down the hills. Fill in the valleys. Make a path so that Christ can come into your life. God will not dwell in an unholy and an unclean vessel. He has provided gifts and he has offered opportunities for you to repent. Make your path and your body a dwelling place for God. One that he can come in and be acceptable. Be accepted and a dwelling place that is worthy of him. And that's the only place he's going to be. That's where he's going to dwell. Heaven's not some ramshackle place falling down with rebellion all over it. It's a holy place. And that's what God is looking for today, a holy people that he can come and make his abode in. Just that simple. And when he can make his abode in it, he can bring gifts to it. And to think that he's going to come in and just pour his gifts out on people and that say that he's living in their lives and they're living lives that are opposed to the Word of God is a very deceitful, blasphemous thing. Whenever churches claim to have God and claim to have gifts that God has given, and they're not walking in the faith that was once delivered to the saints, they are to be rejected. The Bible says to try all things, prove all things. The early church, the pre-Nicene church, When some man came into the church performing miracles, everyone put up their guard. Who is this? They became wary of that man, lest they would be deceived. They watched him. In fact, it gives the idea in the whenever they were talking about it, they watched him double, lest he be a deceiver. It's a dangerous thing. They were worried about being deceived. Today, someone comes along and does some kind of little miracle, and everyone just follows them around like the Pied Piper, like the rats follow the Pied Piper. They just think, oh, this is a man of God. He's doing miracles. They put ads in the paper, come and see miracles and healings. Just like it was a circus. These are not of God. You don't, Ravenhill used to say, you don't have to advertise a fire. People will just come to a fire. People got to get out there and advertise their gifts. Got to be out there putting it in the paper and telling people come and watch people get healed and watch miracles. It's nothing but a bunch of people looking for signs and wonders. It's a sign of an apostate, evil generation, Jesus said. They're not watching. They're not wary. And went and got some coffee this week, stopped in at a gas station and or a Quick Trip. Lady had a preacher on the radio that was playing. This man was talking about the Antichrist when he come. And he said, I'm going to try to imitate him. When the Antichrist come, he'll be smooth, suave, articulate in his words. People will be drawn to him because he's eloquent. He'll look nice. And people are just saying, amen, that's the way he'll be. That man's right. I just wanted to run out of there. He was telling just exactly what he was. Paul's speech was contemptible. But he was telling the truth. He wasn't trying to sell it. Be on guard. There's not one thing with challenging. Bible says to reprove, exhort, to test. We're taught today that if we try to challenge someone or test something, that we're judges. We're just being hateful and mean. That That's part of being a Christian in a deceitful world. To prove things. We're judged by our fruit, not our gifts. How often we get that mixed up? Oh, they're good preachers. I could just feel the power of God on their lives. They're just so blessed. I can't think of the word right now. They talk about someone who's anointed. Yeah, their message. Oh, they just had such an anointed message. We could just see by that anointed message, oh, that's a man of God. That's not the way you tell a man of God. Any motivational speaker in this world can move you that way. We judge people by their fruit, not by their gifts. We judge churches by their fruit, not their gifts. We are commanded to bear fruit. We're not commanded to have a gift. They are real. But they're not very many. They're pretty scarce, actually. They're real scarce. In fact, it's pretty scary how scarce they are. If we look overall the Bible again, and how God deals with people, we see that in the beginning of something, God is free and willing to really bless people. But the further away they get from the beginning, the less God is able to speak to them. The less He's able to work through them. Until they come to the time of judgment. And He's got to judge them instead of pour gifts on them. That's where we're at in this world. God's not just pouring out everything the way He did in the beginning of the church. Jesus said when He returns again, He said, "Will I even find faith on the earth?" Judgment must begin at the house of God, He said. We're at the threshold of His judgment. We're not at the beginning of the church. It's happened all the way through. In the beginning of creation, everything was wonderful. Just a few years later, God was saying, "I wish I wouldn't even have made man." I'm going to destroy him off the face of the earth. But Noah found grace. And he saved him from that destruction. David, whenever the kingdom was restored, they rejoiced and celebrated. Some of those latter kings were so wicked. Got to the place where for the last 400 years of Israel's time that God never even sent a prophet to them anymore. That's why there's 400 years between the last prophet and Matthew. There's history there. But God wasn't speaking. There was righteous men there. But God had gone silent. People today have tried to restore and imitate the early church. And they try to do it by finding the gifts. That's not the way you restore something. You might be an imitator, but an imitator is kind of gives me the idea of being false by nature. They're having to imitate something. They're not what it is. That causes alarms to go off with me. That causes red flags when someone's trying to imitate something. It won't work unless it's Christ that we're imitating. We can learn from some people, but when we have to imitate gifts and have to seek things and miracles so that we can imitate it, we're wrong. These gifts. He gave some apostles and some prophets. Some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. In another place in Corinthians chapter 12. For the one is given, verse 8, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Also in Romans chapter 12. 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on the ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth well with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Another, it talks about, maybe we, is that the one we had in 12 there, where it talks about helps and there, verse 6, there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, that's what we read. To another faith, the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. Yeah, that's what we just read. Talks about those, their ministry of helpers, being where is that? Okay. Well, there just. Yeah, there it is. We just didn't go far enough. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. These gifts are given to bring us to one faith, to one God, one Father. They're given to bring the body to help the body be a dwelling place for Christ. To help the body be a witness to the world. some of these gifts. Are just simple things. Helps. Helpers. There's people, one of the brothers gave his verse today and he talked about when someone asks you to do something, go the extra mile. Don't just do what you have to do or ask to do. Go the extra mile. And God has set some in the church, first apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Then in Ephesians, we have that list again. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Do we believe in apostles today? One of the gifts. What is an apostle? Some people say, well, it's men that saw Jesus. I think apostle is someone who's sent out with a charge by God to help establish things. Forerunner, maybe. Prophets. We get so mystical whenever we hear some of these words that we're just afraid of them. They've been abused. But they are very common things that are happening. A prophet is someone not who's able just to predict the future. In fact, most of the prophets that we read, most of the prophets in the Old Testament were actually just seeing what was going on, but as they were saying what was going on, they were also saying words that would fit generations later. They were seers. We think someone, a prophet, is just someone getting a vision of something that's going to happen later. Like in Revelation, when John saw what was going to happen in Revelation and he wrote it down in the book of Revelations. But most of the prophets in the Bible simply were able to see what was going on, and as they spoke about what was going on, they were also predicting what was going to happen later. And they really didn't even know it, I don't think, a lot of times. People that have these gifts don't go around advertising them. They may be a little aware they have it, but a lot of times they don't even recognize they have it. They sure don't boast in them. The gifts are recognized by the church. If you think you have a gift, but no one else can see it but you, I put a big question mark on that. The church will recognize it. The church will eventually recognize it. Some people feel like they're called to do something. They're called to be an evangelist. They're called to be a prophet, or they're called to be a pastor, or they're called to be a teacher. Others will recognize it if that's what you're called to be. These gifts, most of the time, these gifts are given, and other people begin to see it way before the man who's got it recognizes it. That's why we pick our, or we choose our leaders. Look out among you. Look for these gifts among you. Watch for them. Do the minor gifts. Be a helper. Be a leader. Be a servant. Do those little things faithfully. The Bible says that God will give you more things to do. He said, him that is had shall be more given. You be faithful in the little things. Pretty soon you'll be moving up. We don't need new revelations. That's the problem with a lot of the things today. Whenever God gives gifts, there's a purpose for them. There's a need for them to help bring the church to the one faith, to the one God. Any gift, it's just something along the side to look miraculous. No value in that. Why do we need a miracle or a tongue or something to help us to understand what's already written and what's been passed down? We go different places. I find the need of interpreters. I find the need sometimes of someone who can speak a different language. I don't find much need for someone who can just ramble off a bunch of words that mean nothing to anyone other than someone else just jumping up and saying what those words mean. Who knows whether either one of them? Neither one of them know what they're saying. That doesn't fit with trying the spirits and proving all things. If I speak and someone interprets what I'm speaking into Spanish, we can test whether what this brother's saying in Spanish or not, because there's other Spanish speakers. Whenever someone prophesies, God sent prophets, and if you'll just look a little bit in the Bible, whenever He sent a prophet to someone, it wasn't someone telling how much God was going to bless you. A prophet was sent to correct a wayward people and tell them about how God was going to judge them if they didn't repent. His message wasn't about prosperity and how God would prosper you or how God would bless you. A prophet was despised because he was telling people the truth. From the very beginning to the book of Revelations, where the two prophets come, and the Bible says that the world rejoiced and sent gifts together whenever those two people were killed. When the two prophets lay dead in the streets, men sent gifts to each other. That's a prophet. Prophets were spoken lowly. They spoke evil against prophets. Prophets were old. They're pictured by the world as being full of doom and gloom. They have nothing good to say about me. Just examine these things. We don't have to go through them all. Examine them. They're there, and they're real, but they don't necessarily mean what's going on today. We need pastors. We need teachers. We need evangelists. We need prophets. We need apostles to promote the kingdom of God. We need helpers. We need givers. We need men who can speak other languages. We need men who can interpret. Seek after those things. Seek after them. But know that that gift isn't for you. That gift isn't to you. That gift is to the church. Not about you. It's not to you. It's a gift to a servant to be given to the body. The gift is to the church. We believe in the gifts. Our faith's not in the gifts. Our faith's not in our experiences. That so much, so often, that is what happens. It's just like the idea of being saved all at once. Being born again all at once. A miraculous thing happened. So many times people began trusting and being saved. So many times people begin trusting in their idea that they have a gift. Instead of trusting and walking with God. Just examine these gifts by some of these principles we've laid down this morning. We don't have to go through each one of them. I don't have to go through each one of them and say the exact thing of what each one does and what it's for and what it's not for. Why that one's false. Just examine them by the principles that are laid out. What's the purpose of them? What are they for? Is it by holy men? Is it to edify the church? Does it fit? Building the faith? Just examine them that way. May the Lord add His blessings. Does anyone have any questions or something they'd like to add? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Trying to hold on to. Right.
You can come out of one of those groups and take with you some sound doctrine and leave with that, but you can't bring along your gift of tongues or your gift of prophecy or your gift of healing. Whatever you were doing there, thinking you had the Spirit of God, if you were divorced or remarried, or you were going to